Good morning. I hope you have your Bibles open to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 as we continue our study through the book. Verses 12 through 20, I titled the lesson, Glorify God. And that's what we need to be consciously aware of, is to make sure that in all things that God is glorified. One of the things in 1 Corinthians 6, this is a section, sometimes, especially the last two verses of verse 19 and 20, are sometimes the most misquoted verses that people use about our bodies, and they don't understand the context of which he is speaking. And we're going to keep everything in context. I always try to do that to the best of my ability. Sometimes when you go through a study like this, you need to understand a little bit about the setting that the church is in when Paul writes this letter. You need to know a little bit about Corinth so we don't jump off to some wild conclusions, because the city, what was going on there. Historically, Corinth was always known for three things: wealth, drunkenness, and sexual immorality. It was known around the world for that. And it was flaunted in front of the world. It was a major trade city, east and west. It had ports there that they would come in. Goods would go on east from there. It was just a major trade city. But there was one unique thing about the city that you need to realize. There were 26 sites and temples throughout this city. And we're not talking like we look at a church building today. These were huge temples. They were huge monstrosities. And as you would travel about through the city, you could always hear teachings about these different temples and the gods that they portrayed. Paul tells us a little bit in chapter 8 of 1 Corinthians, verses 4 and 5, where he talks about there is no such thing as an idol in the world, and he talks about these so-called gods. There's no such thing. We know there is only one God. So Paul knows the city of Corinth is full of all of these temples and all of these gods and idols. You have one of the gods, you have the temple is the temple of Poseidon. He's the god of the sea. Then you go over, there's another temple that was major there, Isis. And I know you've probably heard some of these god goddesses through life that you've studied. Isis is a god of religion. Well, you would think that would be there. You would go through and they had also a temple dedicated to the Roman emperor. They put the Roman emperor in line with the gods that all these idols that they worshiped. And yet, in this city, there was one temple that had a huge following, and it was known as the Temple of Aphrodite, the goddess of love. It really was a temple of immorality. They had what they called 1,000 sacred women tied to the temple of Aphrodite. They were nothing more than prostitutes. They didn't call them that. Paul's going to call them harlots and prostitutes. But what they would do, in the name of love, in the name of this God, they would descend every evening from this temple of Aphrodite down to the streets of Corinth. And for a sacred service, you could pay, and the immorality, the relationship that you could have with these women, was all done in the name of religion. And it was commonplace. And to us, we sit here today and we think, my, oh my, you know, they're just prostitutes. They're paying. How could the world around, how could a city like that involve itself? And we're not so much different today than that. I mean, how many people think in America, and how many people, and I see it in the church, how many people in the church believe it's okay to shack up with one another and not be married, and yet you can still have a relationship with God? See, it's not that much different. We live in a nation that glorifies sexual immorality. And a nation that glorifies sexual immorality to such a point that they still think that people can have this relationship with God and do things with God. You know, it's religious. Well, this was what was ongoing there. It was part of their culture. It was part of the city. And Paul has to address it. Oh, he's already dealt with immorality back in chapter 5 in the church. He's already dealt. But this is a whole nother ball game, because this is done in the name of religion. And that's what we got to see. That's what you got to look at this context in which Paul writes. Look quickly at verse 12. Paul says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Did he just say all things are lawful for me? He sure did. What does he mean by lawful? Well, the term literally means permissible, what God permits. That's what the term lawful is here. There are things that are unlawful in the eyes of God. You know, back in chapter 5, it was unlawful to have immorality going on in church. That's unlawful. Chapter 6, to have lawsuits with your brethren, that's unlawful. No, that's not lawful things. But now, Paul is addressing things that are lawful, things that are permissible. It's things that you can do that God says it's okay to do. And he's going to give a specific about this here in just a second. But he's going to do it for a reason. He says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. Just because something is okay to do does not mean there's profit in it. You may know of something that says, well, the Lord says, you know, he gave us this, that we can do it, but it might not be profitable to do it. Just because you have the freedom doesn't mean you exercise that freedom. And here's why. The middle of verse 12. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. It might be okay to do it, but it can begin to control your life. Well, there's nothing wrong with it. No, there's not. But has it become your master that's what you live for? That you can't give it up? That's the danger. And so Paul throws this idea out. It's permitted by God. It's lawful. It might not be profitable, but it's lawful, and I've determined this. I'm not going to let anything master me other than we know Jesus. He's the only master. And then he begins to bring in the parallel. What is lawful? Look at verse 13. Food is for the stomach, and the stomach is for food, but God will do away with both of them. He brings up food. Is it lawful to eat food? Well, we know from Scripture, you know, 1 Timothy chapter 4, we can eat any food. We're in a religious time in our country right now where they limit what you can eat, what you can't eat. Scripture says those who know the truth can eat anything they want to eat. That's lawful. And so he said, here's God's design on things that are lawful. It's lawful to eat any food. Food is for the stomach, and the stomach is for food. That's the way God designed it. Those two things are made for each other. And then he says, but I want you to see what God's going to do to that. He says, but God will do away with both of them. Food and the stomach are going to be done away with, because they're not going to be needed for God's purpose. And then he shifts to another area, the middle of verse 13. Yet the body is not for immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. What is God's design for our bodies? Well, he designed our body for food. Yes, he did. But that's for the stomach. But God designed our bodies. He gave us these sexual desires. God, you know, God created that. Yeah, but God didn't create your body for immorality. It may be okay to have these desires. Intimacy is all right. And he's going to address this in the first six verses of chapter 7 to show where God brought in lawfully where intimacy is to take place in marriage. But God didn't design the body for immorality. No, our bodies were designed for the Lord and the Lord for the body. Well, what do you mean by that, Paul? Verse 14. Now, God has not only raised the Lord, but will also raise us up through His power. Look at the death of Jesus. Jesus' body was laid in a tomb. It was maimed. His body was beaten. And yet, what did God do? He raised the Lord Jesus Christ's body from the grave. Why? Because the body is for the Lord. And because the body is for the Lord, He will raise us up through His power. He's going to discuss this in chapter 15 about the raising of the body. But he's trying to get us to understand that everything has purpose and everything has design. And even the things that have design, you cannot let those things become your master, even if it's lawful. God says, Paul says, God has not only raised up the Lord, but will also raise us up with Him through His power. We're raised with Jesus. We're going to be raised with Jesus. And Jesus is going to raise what part of us? Our bodies. We're going to have a new body. Then what do you think He designed your body for today? He designed it for Him, not for immorality. Verse 15. Do you not know that your bodies are a member of Christ? Now I want you to notice that question. Do you not know? You know what? In the first 11 verses, three times Paul had to ask the church, do you not know, church? Now he begins the second section here, verses 12 through 20, and three times in this section, he's going to ask the church, church, do you not know? Do you not know God's purpose? Do you not know who you are in relationship to God? Are you that ignorant of spiritual matters? He says in 16, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Do you not know that? Do we not realize what happened to us when we were baptized into Jesus? Do we not realize, like Romans chapter 6, when he's talking about being baptized into Christ, being baptized into His death? He says in verse 5, for we become united with Him in the likeness of His death. We've become what? United with Jesus. That day that you were baptized into Christ, you and Jesus became one. Well, one how? Look real quick over to chapter 12. Let me give you one verse real quick. Look at chapter 12, verse 27. He says, now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. Question, who are you? Who are each one of us this morning? We say we're the body of Christ. We call ourselves the church, the body of Jesus. Individually, who are you? You're the body. When you were baptized into Christ, you were individually brought into union with Jesus. You and Jesus are now one. Do you not know? Do you not know that your bodies now are members of Christ? You and I are members. We are different aspects of Christ's body. We're all members. Some of us may be hands and feet and shoulders and elbows and fingers or whatever other parts there may be. He'll discuss this in chapter 12. But one thing about it, when you were united with Christ, what did you become? You became tied to part of Him. You are a representative. You are tied to Jesus. And Jesus did not make your body to be used for anything except Him. Why? Because you're one with Him. That's the part of you that will be raised. Verse 16, do you not know, excuse me, I keep jumping to 16, I got to keep my finger on 15. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Reflect on that, who you are. And brethren, we're talking this morning to every one of us who've been baptized into Jesus. We are members of His body, not our body, His body. The middle of verse 15. Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? May it never be. How in the world could anybody think about taking their body and making them part of a prostitute? To take the body that's been joined to Christ, and Christ is for the body, and that member go out there, that part of Jesus, and make that a part of a prostitute. Could you do that? Can members of Christ's body be out there and be representatives of Christ? I'm part of His body, but look, I'm joining myself to a prostitute, to a harlot. Is that what you think that we ought to be doing? Do you not know who you are? God forbid that any of us think that we can do that and be okay. Your body wasn't made for immorality. It was made for Jesus. And Jesus for the body. Your body wasn't made to attach to a harlot. We can't do that. We're going to take away a member of Christ's body and make them a member of a harlot. Oh, may it never be. Now, verse 16. Or do you not know? Here's the second one. Do you not know that the one who joins himself to a prostitute is one body with her? He said, let's look at the ramifications of this. You are taking something that God has created. He created the body for intimacy. That whenever you join yourself to a mate, you're no longer two, you're one in body. And He quotes that at the end of verse 16, for He says the two shall become one flesh. He quotes Genesis 2:24, and He says, take a look at it. The way God designed it, that when a man and woman come together in matrimony and they're married, you know what? God expressed intimacy between them. They are one. They are one in unit, one in body, one in soul. If you go and you attach yourself over here to some harlot, to some prostitute, you are now making yourself one with whatever she shares in. And at the temple of Aphrodite, guess what was going on? If you make yourself one with one of these prostitutes from that temple, that means you are sharing in everything she believes in. And you're using your body for it. The two of you become one. And that's not God's design. You're outside the realms of God. You see what they've done? They've taken the food, which is going to be in chapter 8 discussed, They've taken food that is being offered to these idols, and they know they can eat of it. It's lawful to do that. And they've put on the same level of that food law immorality. But their offering is a sacred service of religion, and Paul is appalled at them. Just because society accepts it, just because society calls it religion, do you not know what your bodies are for? Do you not realize Christ is going to raise your body? Do you not realize that whenever you're intimate with a prostitute, that you're one body with her and you're choosing everything she shares in? Now again, he's going to address this in chapter 7, that a husband and wife are one in body. That's the way God intended it. But not to outsiders. Well, he says in verse 16, or do you not know that the one who joins himself to a prostitute is one body with her? For he says the two shall become one flesh. Verse 17, but the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. Do you join yourself to the Lord? Well, guess what you and the Lord are? You're one spirit. And it's by being in that oneness, God's going to raise your body through His power. You and the Lord in spirit are one. You are one body with the Lord. And so you're going to take that relationship, that closeness, that oneness of spirit, you're going to rip it away, and you're going to go over here and get involved in these prostitutes from this temple, and you think it's okay, and you think that the Lord's going to be happy with you. Where do you think this thing's headed? You can't do that. You're one spirit with the Lord. And then he begins to apply it. Verse 18. Look at the first two words. Flee immorality. Church, every single one of us should be fleeing immorality. We live too in a day and time, just as they lived with the temple of Aphrodite and these other false gods and goddesses. We too live in a day and time that flaunts immorality. And Paul said, you better flee from it. I was reading an article this week. And the article is talking about MTV. Never watch it. Have no interest. But it was talking about the sexual innuendos that MTV always portray. And the vast majority from 40 years age and down that watch it. Parents, you even know what your children are watching. Are you even aware of the immorality that's being portrayed among us? And it's accepted in society. Every time we talk about the dating scene. We talk about the dating scene. And you know what goes with the dating scene? Sexual immorality. It's part of it. It's not with the Lord. If you're one with Jesus, are you going to make yourself one in immorality? Is that the way this thing works? You want the Lord to raise your body? You want to know that you're one spirit with the Lord? And now you're going to go over here and you're going to be involved in immoral things? You better be fleeing from immorality. Immorality is not acceptable. Parents, teach your children. It is not acceptable. Parents, teach yourself. It is not acceptable. Immorality of any kind is unacceptable in the eyes of God. Or do you not know that? Are we ignorant of the fact that we just go right through and think it has no effect on us, or think it has no effect on our children, when all they're talking about is being pregnant, when they're talking about who's running around with who, who's having an affair with who, what this one's doing, what that one's doing, and that's what our society, we have become some messed up society, and now here we are, the church, representatives of Christ Jesus, members of Christ's body. There should be something exemplified within you and within me as we are out in a world knowing that my body is for the Lord. It's not for immorality. I don't care what society says. Flee from immorality. That's our application to that. He says in verse 18, flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Now, that can be a little confusing. What do you mean, every other sin? Well, if you'll see that word other, if you have New American Standard, it's italicized. It means it's implied. It's not in original Greek. Every sin that man commits is outside the body. Well, wait a minute. What does that mean? That's kind of hard. You know what? If I tell a lie, that lie may come from my lips, that part of my body. But the lie will not affect my body. It might affect you. It will affect the way you may view me, that I'm a liar. I'm untrustworthy. It may affect you in the fact that I deceived you and took you down. But see, that's outside the body. That has nothing to do with my body. It's not affecting it. But you know what immorality is against? I'm using my physical body and joining it with something immoral rather than being one spirit and one body with Jesus. And now I've taken as a member of Jesus and desecrated his name in the front and the eyes of mankind. When husbands and wives have affairs, the same thing. You join yourself to someone else, and guess what? You're desecrating your body. You are now sharing in everything that they share in and they believe. And that's not the way the Lord intended it. Flee immorality. Every other sin a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. And now he concludes verse 19. Or do you not know? One more time. Are you ignorant? Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you're not your own? Your body. I look at you this morning, you see me. This physical body that you see is the house of the temple of the Holy Spirit. He resides in this house, this human flesh. And you know what that makes this house? Holy. Sacred. And because it's holy and sacred, it's what I have. He's what I have from God. And because I have that from God, I no longer am living for me. I'm not about me. I'm not my own. I am tied to Jesus. When I went down in that watery grave of baptism, I was being united with Jesus in spirit. And now He took up residence in this flesh and blood house. And because He did that, guess what I need to realize? He's going to raise this body too. Yes, this physical body's going back to the dust of the ground. Yes, it's going to be buried in the grave. But the day's coming, He's going to resurrect it, and it's going to be as He wants it to be. Again, 1 Corinthians 15, we'll discuss this. He's going to raise my body and your body. And while we are alive and we live on this earth, guess what our bodies are? They are the temple of God, the Spirit of God who's in you. We have Him from God, and that we are not our own. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to Him. So therefore, if we know that, then what would be the only logical conclusion? Verse 20, for you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. What are you going to use your body for? To glorify God. How? Not in immorality. That's the context of that verse. You were bought with a price. You know, when you think about being bought with a price, you know what that tells me? That tells me and it tells you that God placed some value in you. When you were united with Jesus, God placed value in you, and that's why He put His Spirit within you, because you are valued. And if you know that, then what are you going to do with your body? My body is for the Lord, and the Lord is for my body. And just as God raised Christ Jesus' body from the dead, He's going to use His power and raise me from the dead. And because He's going to do that, in verse 20, the conclusion is, therefore glorify God in your body. I want you to notice what's not said. He doesn't say glorify God with your body. He says glorify God in your body. I will use my body to glorify God. And being sexually immoral is not glorifying to God. It's joining yourself up to something that God did not intend. And now that makes a shamble of Jesus. It makes a shame of the Holy Spirit. And it's a mockery of God to His face. We live in a very high sex-driven society. And we need to step forward. And we need to stop and understand we have a lot at stake. We have a lot to lose. And our bodies, we don't need to be tying it to any type of immorality. Because God resides within. And Jesus is going to raise you and use your body. You think about that. We need to be serious. And Paul was serious enough because, you know, you would have thought, being speaking of immorality, by dealing with it in chapter 5, where you get rid of the man who has this father's wife, you'd have thought he'd have dealt with it there. This is on the line of idolatry and using the body for immorality. That's what Paul's addressing. And so I'm speaking to our young people. Flee immorality. Flee immorality. It's not right in the eyes of God. It will cost you your soul. I'm speaking to our young parents about what you get yourself connected with. Flee immorality. Do you not know that you're the temple of God, the Spirit of God dwells in you? Do you not know that? Do you not know that God made your body to use for the Lord and the Lord for the body and He's going to raise it up? Do you not know that? Then flee immorality. To the middle age, flee immorality. Keep immorality away from you. Keep immorality away from a marriage. Keep immorality away from everything because it's a desecration of God. And to all of us, in our bodies, let's use our bodies to glorify God when it comes to intimacy. And again, that's next week. 1 Corinthians 7. That's the lawful channels in which God, as His holy temple, with my body, intends for it to be used. And that is the only place it is lawful. Anything else is not. It's unlawful. You think about it. Encourage one another. Watch over your children. Watch over your young people. Let's just teach it and preach it. I know sometimes people think that I'm getting old and he's an old fuddy-duddy anymore. He doesn't have fun. Well, this old fuddy-duddy wants your soul to get into heaven, and I'll tell you, immorality's not going to get you there. You mark it down. Paul sought it enough. He had to tell the church at Corinth. temple prostitutes in the name of religion is unacceptable. And we'll deal with the food laws again in chapter 8. Let's move forward. May God be blessed. May we glorify God in our bodies. And let's be committed to doing that.